We almost had a failure to communicate. And the lesson is how important is effective communication. We just concluded a gospel meeting with Brother Steve Hutchinson. What did you perceive the object of his lessons were? Did he effectively present his message? Did you feel encouraged over what was presented? Did you go away with a question about his words? If so, did you seek clarification from him? Or did anyone else answer your questions for you? Or did you go away wondering what was said? In other words, did you follow the example of the Bereans? Remember what they did when Paul and Silas was preaching the gospel? They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And that's the message for you and I, that we need to search whatever's told up here by whoever's up here, to search the scriptures to see if it's so. People sometimes make honest mistakes. And you have to go to them, find out if you misunderstood what they said, or did they say something inappropriate. And they may not even be aware of it. Now the flip side of this is, did we listen intently enough to understand what was being preached? Jesus informs us of a learning process. If you'd be so kind to turn your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we're going to look at two verses, 44 and 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets. Now you understand why the Bereans went back to the scriptures. And they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You see, they heard, but there's a learning process in there. You have to understand what is being said. And then turn your Bibles in the Old Testament to Isaiah. Isaiah 54, verse 13. Isaiah 54, 13. And all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. Now let's compare Jeremiah 31, starting at verse 33 and going down through 34. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more. The Jews became Jews by birth. Christians become Christians because they listened to the gospel, they understood the gospel, and they obeyed the gospel. The next logical question would be, how is one drawn to Christ? Turn your Bibles, New Testament, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. And it was for this he called you through our gospel. That tells you the method to be called to God, to Christ. That is the gospel of Christ. That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we are not called by the gospel of Christ, by something else, we're not in Christ. Now turn your Bibles to Romans. You all know this by heart. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The process is very basic. Hear, learn, obey. And then remain faithful. The process is exceedingly simple. In Revelation 2:10, we quote this many times, and Galen's elucidated to this and expounded on it a couple of times. It says, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Galen talked about that. And it says, even if it causes your death. We think, well, that's pretty harsh. Maybe we should back off and fight another day. How many times have you heard that said? But do we have any examples of anybody following what Christ has said? Look at Stephen. Acts 7, verse 55 and verse 56. At the end of the lesson, we're going to come back to that and finish a few other verses. "But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At times, learning is not perceived properly. As the passages show, it is essential that one hears the word of God in order to be drawn to Jesus by the Father. When one really hears and learns, he comes to Christ. Now, if you be so kind, we'll go to Acts 2:38 and 39, and Daryl read that so graciously to us. Acts 2:38-39 demonstrates God's word in action. "And Peter said to them, Repent." What did they do? They heard the word. Did they understand the word? It pierced their heart. Yes, they did. Now what do we do? "You repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39. "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." And we know how we're called through the gospel. Learning is often perceived as just hearing or taking some information in. However, a meaningful definition of learning is found in the book Theories of Learning by Ernest R. Helgard and Gordon H. Bauer. And I quote, "Learning is the process by which an activity originates or is changed through reacting to an encountered situation, provided that characteristic of that change in activity cannot be explained on the basis of native response tendency, like growing maturity, or temporary states of the organism, like fatigue or drugs or something like that. Because changes can take place where not good. Teaching is more than telling. I truly believe that such is the case. However, telling is perhaps about all that it takes place in some of our teaching efforts and situations. Listening is sometimes something that only I can do. You can't do it for me. Nor can I do it for you. An acquaintance at work, when he was trying to explain to a contractor some of the Navy contracts, which he fully didn't understand either, but he would tell the gentleman on the other end, he says, "I can read the contract for you. I can explain the contract for you, but I can't understand it for you." And the main thing with a Navy contract is to read it completely. Because sometimes a line item is not funded for him to do. It's in the contract, but it's not negotiable until the funds are in there. Listening is an active participation. However, it is not a passive present when something is being said. However, the mere presence of a message received does not guarantee that communication will take place. In the book Listening Behavior by Larry L. Baker, the listener must be tuned in to the speaker before communication can be assimilated successfully. Now turn your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and we're going to just read verse 47. John 5:47, and Jesus is talking. But if you do not believe his writings, that's the Moses, how will you believe my words? And then in John 6, and the whole thought process goes from 22 to 71, but we're only going to read verse 24. John 6:24. When the multitude therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. These individuals were seeking the right source, and that is good. But why were they seeking Jesus? To hear the message that he was teaching, or to satisfy their fleshly appetite? We can see congregations together, and I don't call them churches, they're congregations. They come for entertainment, for social events, and maybe for business reasons. God wants us to come here to worship God in truth and in spirit. Was Jesus communicating effectively? Was it too hard to understand? Let's look at verse 68 in John 6. John 6:68. Simon Peter answered him. This is where he says, are you going to leave me too? And he says, Simon says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We don't dwell on that too often, as much as we should. Only one individual that walked on the face of this earth had the power of eternal life. He allows us to gain that through obedience to his Father's word. Peter was tuned in enough to continue listening so he could come to a greater understanding of Jesus' word. Jesus tells us he is not making his own set of laws up. John 5:30. John, the 5th chapter, and verse 30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. When a Christian preaches, or preachers teach, or teachers teach publicly or privately, they should be aware of their listeners. Never use a vocabulary that is above the audience's capability of understanding, but do our best to our ability to effectively communicate the word of God. We as disciples, learners and followers, and I'm 78 and I still learn. I'm so thankful for our Bible classes. You know, there's a lot of good information there. If you don't come, you're missing a lot. But ever keep this in mind. If we are to avail ourselves of the richness set before us in taking and declaring the power of God, we need to grow. As I grow older, I become more and more aware of the fact that there is a lot more talking than communicating. A lot more said than received. As well as that much that's been received was not sent. And a lot of people don't think about that. A lot of times when a preacher's up here preaching, or a teacher's teaching, some people have a already an idea of what they believe. And so when it's said up here, what God said, they don't take it really to heart. Because they've got their own way of thinking. They've been trained. That's why the letters to the Galatians and the Ephesians and so forth were written. To correct those traits that they were bringing in when they were worshiping God. Understanding is the aim or end of the message sender's effort. Yet often the attempt to communicate is a failure for various reasons. One of them could be the sender can be careless, ignorant of the process, or use poor judgment in choosing precise terms to convey the message. Go to the parable of the sower or the testing of the soil or whatever you want to call it. Look at the explanation of Jesus in Matthew 13:19. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. Rachel and I was talking about that this afternoon as we were driving back or going to, I got a short memory, but it was one of the two, that we don't give Satan his just dues. He wants you. He wants your soul. And he's going to do anything in the world to get it. God always tells you what to do and what the goal is and what the reward is. Have you ever noticed that Satan never tells you what the end product is? Just to satisfy you right here and right now? How many times have we been as the wayside receiver in regard to a particular message? As I look back, I see many things which I did not receive at the time they were sent to me by a communicator. Sometimes I have to chew on something for a while. And Galen said something one time, and I wasn't taught that. It took me a while and studied the material that he gave me, and I came to the same conclusion he had. So that means, you know, don't be set in your ways unless they're God's ways. But make sure they're God's ways and not what you want. Can you not remember times when you indicated that you have heard, understood, and would carry out the directions, only to find out later you had missed an important part of the message? Maybe you thought something else was meant, when something different was totally meant. I have, and I expect that you have too. Movement or change is one of one's behavior or conduct results when real learning takes place. When one hears the message that Jesus is the Christ, that he understands that he is lost in sin, and the consequences of that sin is eternal ruin, and that all who will come to God by Jesus will be saved. If one really learns that message, he won't wait. He'll run to Jesus. Many things inferred with the reception of that message, either externally or internally, or a combination of both. Let me give you an example of external. Look in Acts, the 13th chapter, verse 8. Acts the 13th chapter in verse 8. If you remember this, Paul, Barnabas, and Mark was over in Cyprus preaching the gospel. And if you recall, Barnabas was from there. He even sold some property for the early Christians so they could get along. That's the love that Barnabas had for our brethren. Now, as they were going, they came to the next city where there was an official there, the one in charge of the whole island. But in verse 8 it says, but Elymas, the magician, for thus his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And this happened, that island of Cyprus had changed from being conquered over and over again. When the Romans had it in 22 BC, it became a senatorial province with a proconsul. And if you go back and you look in some history, people will say, well, there's no proconsul there, da 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 da. But they found that, and they even found the guy's name. The Bible is right again. But now the eternal things that could bother us. Acts 28, verses 26 and 27, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they can scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. Things which interfere may be people, concepts, and circumstances. False concepts, having been accepted, close the door to true ideas which go contrary to the basic parts of the held concept of the individual. And you probably say, what does he say? Well, I want to be an effective communicator. I was a Presbyterian. My father was a Presbyterian. My grandfather, as far as I know, my great-grandfather was. I listened to them. I trusted my dad. He always loved me. Grandfather. But when I married Dieta, she had a point of view. Different. Took me a while to understand it. But if I would have listened to my parents, I would have gone wrong. So we have to be careful of what we believe and not be staunch in saying, hey, I won't receive any new information. Be like the Bereans. If the information you're receiving in agrees with the gospel, take it in. If it doesn't, then surely reject it. You know, there's so many things out there today, and we've talked about that a little bit, even in the Bible class. What makes it possible for people to get off so far from the basic truth of the gospel, wanting their lives to be right with God? I have never figured that out, my friends. I'd want a Christian to be my next door neighbor. He's not going to steal from me. He's not going to lie. He's not going to covet, and so forth and so on. There's many things he's not going to do. Why would I want a worldly man that when he's dead, he's dead, and whatever he does, that's okay, because he's going to die anyway. Not going anywhere. Placing too much emphasis on man and his knowledge of theories and passing them off as facts. That's a major problem today in our society. Backing their false premise on some other discipline that are based on false premise also. Carbon dating, using paleontology that bases their dating on carbon dating. I can remember when I was studying this years and years ago, but your strata's out here, and the different layers, Grand Canyon's a good place to go to if you want to see that. But in Africa, they were at a certain strata. And they took the rocks from that area and sent them back to a university for carbon testing. Well, about maybe a mile down, the same strata running down, they took some other samples and sent them to another university for carbon testing. They are off by several thousands of years. There might have been even a million years. I can't remember exactly. It's been too long ago. But many, many years. It's the same strata. Should be the same carbon footprint. It wasn't. So they base their whole theory on a false premise. And when you do that, when you get to the end, it's going to be an error. Wasn't too long ago, global warming. The British people that thought that up admitted they falsified the document. It goes on and on. Read the Bible. Whatever God said is true. We study in our teenage class, has God spoken? We're aeronautical engineer. Well, he was working for Boeing in the aerospace program. They made fun of him reading his Bible lunchtime. So he started answering all their questions. Arnold Schnabel's the man's name. And I loved teaching that class because I had one student in there. When you gave a question out, he'd look at you and study you to see what kind of answer does this man want. But we are studying the book. And then one of the little sub notes down below gave a scripture reference. And I asked the class, did you read the chapter that we're studying? Yes. Did you find any errors? And this person just grinned at me. He said, if you said that, there's errors in here, and I didn't see any. Down at the bottom, I can't remember whether it's 2 Chronicles or 2 Corinthians or 2 Thessalonians. I don't remember. But it was just wrong. It wasn't the first or second. They just changed the numbers. Typographical error. Here's this fine Christian man who is an outstanding student, both in physics and what other. And he's had it proofread twice. And they missed it twice. But it was a good teaching tool because here is this learned man with a book that has an error in it. God's word don't have errors in it. And all through that book, it proves that God is right the minute he states some. Maybe not in scientific terms, but terms that you and I can understand. We read today in our Bible class, and I'm going to want to read it again. Colossians 2, verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Listen to God's word, spoke by the Apostle Paul addressing his fellow Christian brethren in Ephesians 4:20 through 24. Ephesians 4:20 and 24. And in Sunday morning Bible class, that's what we're studying, Ephesians. But we're in chapter 5 now. But you did not learn Christ this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. If we have truly understood the message, then it will be manifested in our behavior. It has in those who truly comprehend the perfect word of God, the gospel. Now reflect on our gospel meeting. What was the purpose? To remind us that God had a plan from the foundations of this earth. In Job 38, in verse 4. Job 38, in verse 4. And this, I feel sorry for Job. I really do. He struggled all through. He's lost his children. He's lost everything he owned. And he's got three friends that are just badgering him instead of helping him. And a fourth young person came in there and didn't do any better. And now, God is going to tell him a few things. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who laid the foundations of the earth? God did. Tell me if you have understanding. Can you imagine what Job felt like then? It's hardly to put in your mind to really come to a good comprehensive awareness of what poor old Job felt. Now turn your Bibles to John. John 17, 24. We have a lot of prayers of Jesus, but this is beautiful like the rest of them. John 17, 24. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundations of the world. Now go to Peter in 1 Peter, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 20 through 24. For he was foreknown before the foundations of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God. Verse 24, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it tells us in very simple terminology, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, all mankind must follow the example taught in the gospel. Hear the word, which was read in Acts 2:36. Therefore, let the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Understand it. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Obey it. Verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's applicable to all mankind. Verse 39. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as our Lord our God shall call to himself. And remember, he calls through this book. That's how he calls us. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through death. I'm sorry, I jumped the line. My eyes do that once in a while. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We need to continue to be faithful in the Lord. And we read Revelation 2:10. Now let's pick up back at Acts, the 7th chapter, and read a couple of verses, 56 through 60. 56 through 60 in Acts 7. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Can you feel how Stephen must have felt seeing the heavens open up and seeing Christ standing at the right hand of God? What a wonderful feeling that will be. "But they cried out with a loud voice, covered their ears, and they rushed upon him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. The witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul." Just think that Paul had to live with that the rest of his life. "And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And having said this, he fell asleep."